Okay. So, right, in regards to, right, the Tosos and Shira Sos Alef. So fine. So we, right, so we know that Tosos says in regards. So first of all, just starting with the Gemara, right, we know that that Rav and Shmuel have their din. We'll talk about whether, you know, what's maintained, what's not maintained, whatever, when we get to that. So, yeah, but we know we have the special din by Dagon that if you have a certain amount of, that, or no, I shouldn't say a certain amount because it's already coming into the Sukkah, but if you have Dagon, so that's going to create a bracha b'rei mezonos even in Antaroves. Fine. And that's for sure true about Mine Dagon. So when Tosos discusses that, right, he makes a qualification, right, because we see later in the Gemara, on Lamites, that if the Dagon is just Ladavik, so that does not count for Rav and Shmuel's din, and then that does not give the Tarobas a Bracha B'rei Mezonos. But it doesn't necessarily say, the Gemara is not clear what the alternative to Dagon, to Ladavik is. It just says, you know, if it's Ladavik, that's going to be not B'rei Mezonos, and then we'll come back to this also, but with, meaning we have Hava Minas, that both with, you know, on the bottom of Lamed Zayin base, and then Lamed Vavim base onto the top of Lamed Zayin, and then also later Lamed Tes in regards to whether the Smita Iker or Dovsh Iker, but or with the Ritzat Klai in terms of how much flour there is. But Lamaskana, it's clear that you just it's not a quantitative point. It's just that, but it doesn't say exactly what it is. So Tosos, right, he comes in and he says that in Dimarasal Kol, in the bottom of Lamed Vavim base, it has to be Soedis Aleif. Right, it's not Ladavik, but rather it's Soedis Aleif. So the question then becomes, right, is that just the alternative to Ladavik, or is that a shear in of itself? So the Avni Nezer is Mendaik and Tosos, that description is indicative of a shear of a certain amount of grain product in and of itself. And he contrasts this with the Ritva and the Rashva, who seem to say, no, the alternative to Dagon is just Tom. But the Avni Nezer, right, he points to the right, meaning he points to the Gemara Lamed Tes that where ultimately the Maskana is that if it's just Ladavik, then it's not B'rei Mezonos. But the Havamina was seemingly the Havamina there is including the Din of Rav and Shmuel, and then the qualification of the Din of Rav and Shmuel is that it's not true if it's Ladavik. But in the Havamina there, which distinguishes between having a lot of flour and having a lot of honey, meaning not a lot of flour, it seems like there still is this point of having a lot of flour that's even to be mezonos. Now that's once that's ladavik, it doesn't matter la maskana, obviously. But you even see in the Havamina that there seems to be some sort of indication that there needs to be a quantity of dagon, and that's what the Avni Nezer uses to support for Tosos. So, right, we wanted to try to incorporate this debate into a chakira that we have in the din of Rav and Shmuel, and also related to how to read the Gemara. Right, because you could understand Rav and Shmuel in two primary ways. You could understand it as a prot in Iker V'Tafel, right? Normally, Iker V'Tafel, whatever is the Iker factor of the Tarovas is Koveya the Bracha, and then normally that Iker factor is determined, again, we'll come back to this also, but it could be different in the Rambam, but generally speaking, we would think about it as determined by the Rov, or by the most primary ingredient. But Rav and Shmuel come up with their chiddush that no, because you know that Dagon is a unique factor, and therefore it makes something. It is the ikar, no matter as long as it's latam, it's not ladavik. So then that becomes the ikar. But it's really just a din of ikar v'tafel. It's just an exception. Or no, because it is not a din of ikar v'tafel. That the bracha b'rei mezonos be'etzem was metakin on foods which are satiating, and that's defined as foods which contain dagon for tam, right? That's we had this kind of term called maisa kadera. Again, Rebbe acknowledged that it might not be the most perfect term, but it's probably the best term. That's what we're going to work with. Or we have that be'etzem, this having dagon for tam makes the dish into a maisa kadera. So it's possible maybe to align this chakira with the presentation that the Avni Nezer has, right? Because for Tosos, meaning to not just be a prod in Iker V'Tafel, I'll start with this side first. I think it's easier this way. To start with this side, to not just be a prod in Iker V'Tafel, but rather to totally transform the nature of an entire dish despite being a minority ingredient, but into defining the nature of the entire dish itself as a maisa kedera. So it's reasonable to suggest that that takes a certain amount of quantity as well. And not just a factor of time, but rather there's a quantity of soedis aleiv. And why specifically, why is the threshold soedis aleiv? Because that's what Brahman says, that's what maisa kedera is all about. Right? As the Torah says, that, you know, that Allah v'yichya Adam, that the unique quality of Raymondism, of Dagon, is that it, you know, is that it satiates. So, it as much as that's true, to tap into this unique quality of transforming a food into a maisa kedera, which no other, I mean, again, this is a category, so it's not like so unique, but it's unique in regards to everything else, that this category of Minei Dagon has the power to do. So that's only going to be, that's only possible, that's only true, if you're tapping into that soedis aleiv defining quality. Mash Inkin, possibly for the Ritz and the Rashba, that this, you know, it's about, it's just about, it's just a product Ikar V'Tafel. So it could be that just having Tom are enough to be the exception of Ikar V'Tafel. Fine. So, and even moving outside these, Rishonim, just getting into the learning of the Gemara, right? So in the Gemara, Rav Kahana, even before Rav Shmuel comes to the Din, Rav Kahana already suggests that the Chavetz Gedera and Kein Daisa, whatever, so that he already says it's Raymond Zonos because Semita Iker, the flower's Iker. So now the question becomes, was he already saying what Rav and Shmuel are saying, and then Rav and Shmuel just have their, like, you know, billboard statement, and that becomes, like, they become the namesakes, but really Rav Kahana is also in their camp just as much? Or no, Rav Kahana was really saying, you know, whatever, he thought, we have to figure out exactly what other factors that he determined, but he thought that the flowers Ikar, but we did normal Ikar V'Tafel. So the Revolve on the Rift talks about this, and he says, right, and it's a clear cheshbon. If Rav Kahana is saying the same thing in Rav and Shmuel, then Rav and Shmuel are obviously a prat in Ikar V'Tafel, because Rav Kahana is using the term Ikar. Masha Inkain, if you say that he's saying something, right, if you want to say that Rav and Shmuel is something different than Ikar V'Tafel, then you're going to have to say that Rav Kahana is not making the same point as them, because he is making a point in Ikar V'Tafel. And right, what's interesting is that the Revav, right, he concludes like the Ikar V'Tafel way, because he says, if you hold that Minei Dagon, that grain products, are an exception, not within Ikar V'Tafel, but to Ikar V'Tafel, meaning they're outside the world of Ikar V'Tafel. So in the case of the Mishnah later of Pasim Aliyach, which obviously posits the grain product, and yet we still see the service of the Tafel. So if we have this idea that a grain product can never be a Tafel, because it exists outside of the world of Ikar V'Tafel, so then how do you explain that case? How is it a Tafel over there? So that's why he thinks that it's really a prat, and he thinks it's a prat in Ikar V'Tafel. But the way we explain the other side of the Chakira, the Revav's Kasha doesn't really start, because the creating a Maisa Kedera obviously only applies to one individual, to one holistic dish, that the Raymond Zonas is being mixed in a Taroves with other things. But the case of Hasim Aliyah, we're not saying that's not a, you can't, two foods independently don't become a Maisa Kedera. And we never said that the grain products couldn't be Tafel. They can be Tafel. It's just that Be'etzem being in a Tarovis, it can make it a Maisa Kedera. So anyways, Rebbe rejected the Revav's proof and the sides of the Chakira stat. It doesn't mean that the Revav is wrong and that his side is wrong. It just means that the other side is surely tenable. And then finally, Rebbe wasn't so convinced by Tosos' Diuk and necessarily, you know, putting him in that camp like the Avdi Neder does, that you need a certain shear of Tosos' Leiv, and that's definitely going to be on the side of the Chakira of, you know, being Maisa Gedera Be'etzem, because it could be that Tosos was just taking for granted that the cases that he was talking about, whatever the nuts and stuff like that, the cases that he was talking about were cases where the Dagon was Soedis aleiv. But really, that's not a fundamental point. That's just a specific point to the cases that he's talking about. And it could be that he would even agree that all you need is time. Fine. So that's that sugya. So then let's do, right, next one is Al Dama Pir Dama. Again, so this is, right, so the Gemara says, Koses is a chita, that you make a Bre Pir Dama. So, but it's not explicit what the bracha achrona is. So Tosos, raises the issue, Rav Lama Zayin Mada Aleph, Ibn Masal Kosei Zechita, and he's not sure, right? Maybe he, on one hand, he says, maybe make a braid of fashos, which, fine, but that's not, that it might even be the conclusion, but that's not exactly what we're getting into. But what's interesting, in particular, is that Tosos, the way he presents the Havamina of saying Al Adama, Pri Adama, right? Because Tosos says that maybe you should make a Me'ein Shalosh for Kosis as a Chita, right? Meaning you're only making a Pri Adama on it because it's the raw grains, but in as much as the grain product, maybe it could be as part of the Shemaminim. So maybe it merits a Me'ein Shalosh. And the way Tosos presents the formulation of the main shalosh that would be is the psicha would still be al mechel kakala, and the chasima would be al ha adama val pri adama. So this creates a few questions. First of all, why is the psicha maintained as al mechia? Why not specify to al adama pri adama? Right, maybe it's true. It still is minei dava, and you're still eating the raw wheat. So al mechia is a sheker. It might be accurate, but why is it the, you know, why not specify? What's wrong with that? That's question number one. Question number two, right, we see in the other case of main shalosh, right, that in the conclusion, there's always the usage of the phrase ala aretz, right? Ala aretz ala mechia, ala aretz ala peros. But here we have ala dama val pri adama. So why don't we use ala aretz? That's question number two. And question number three is that in the main shalosh for the other shivas of minim, right, meaning besides the mini dagan, so right, so we say al arz al paris. We just say paris stop. We don't specify al priya eitz, even though al priya eitz. And Tosos later in the parak even adds that for wine that you don't say al arz al priya gefen, but you say right, the Gemara's not explicit about it, but Tosos adds that you say al arz al paris also there. He's not willing to specify al priya gefen. Nevertheless, we see in our Tosos that he is willing to do ala adama val pri adama. So why is he able to be mefarit here? First of all, meaning we see that we don't have precedent for being mefarit, so why should he be mefarit here when other kids are not mefarit? So just in simplicity's sake, I'm not going to answer the questions in order, but right, just to summarize, question one, why is it ala mechis on the psicha? Question two, where's the ala aretz? And question number three, why is it ala pri adama as opposed to ala peros? Fine. So to knock out the simplest one first, right, the question number two, it's very easy to say, and it's very, you know, misbakish to say that ala adama is just a synonym for ala aretz, right? Adama, they both mean ground, land, whatever. So even if there's a slight difference in connotation, but they're in terms of the halakhic significance, they're essentially synonymous, and therefore when you say Adama, you're accomplishing whatever Allah Arts is accomplishing. But the question is, what is Allah Arts accomplishing in general? Why are we saying Allah Arts and then saying Allah Peros or Allah Pri Adama or Allah Mechia? So the Yerushalmi interesting points to a parallel between Me'in Shalosh and Birkas Po'alim. Right, Birkas Po'alim is the benching that working people make when they don't, whatever, because we have to be so sensitive to the time that you're supposed to be working, so Chazal shortened the benching for them. And there it says that in the chasima of that shortened form of benching, so Allah. So the theme, right, there's three themes there, right, so that needs to be included in Birkas Po'alim. Sustenance, Zan, you know, the Eretz Yisrael, Aretz, and Bin Yerushalayim. So, you know, one of these things is not like the other, right? So Yerushalayim is a critical theme, but not thematically related enough to Aretz and Zan to be included in the Chasima, and that's why it gets included in the center of the text, as is in Main Shalosh, due to the parallel. And the way that it's explained by the Yerushalmi is that we have this rule called Ein Chosim Mashayim, that we have to have that a Chasima, for whatever reason, I don't know exactly why, but that a chasima has to be, you know, when you're ending something, it has to end with a clear summary, clear takeaway, and that can only represent one theme. That's just my, I don't know, that's my proposition for why in chosim hashayim. But so the Yerushalmi says that the land right, obviously is what produces the sustaining forces, the sustaining protos, and therefore that's one theme, Ars Mafik Pira. And that those can be included in one, and that's not considered contradictory. Mashenkin bin Yerushalayim, that's a whole different theme, and therefore it has to be included in the middle. Fine. So too may remain Shalish. So we see that's why we're mentioning Ars in the end, and so to hereby we're mentioning Adama in the end, because that's hitting the theme of Ars. And the Al Pir Adama Al Mech Al Peros, that's hitting the theme of Zan. Fine. And those are not contradictory. But maybe, and this is an important methodological point, right? In general, you know, when we're working on a problem and we're comparing it to something else, we're trying to figure out, oh well, this, you know, we see that here it's Al Pri Adama and there and but by, you know, by the other ships of Minyan, it's Al Peros. So it's easy to think, well, we're working on Al Pri Adama. Let's figure out why Al Pri Adama is like different than Al Peros. But it's important methodologically to realize when you're comparing two things, just because the one that you're attacking, that you're the one you're attacking might not be the exception, it might be the rule, and the other one might be the exception. So what we can actually, so instead of trying to figure out why Pri Adama is the exception, it actually makes sense to say that we should be Mefari Al Pri Adama. What's really more interesting is why do we not specify Al Pri Eitz or Al Pri Gafen? And there we can say that when you look at a fruit, or, you know, fruit of the vine, you can look at it in two ways. You can look at it as emanating from the ground, or you can look at it as emanating from the tree. And those two ideas are both true, but might not be able to be addressed simultaneously. And the Yerushalmi, in a different place, even says that the reason why Pri Adama works b'di'evet for Pri Ha'etz is because you're viewing the tree, you're viewing the fruit as part of the whole tree is kakashin, right? It's viewed as this whole one singular plant emanating from the ground. But that's uniting the fruit with the tree and not necessarily distinguishing their identities. So it could be that saying Al Pri Al Aretz v'Al HaPeros is not contradictory because Peros is Stam, come from the ground. But saying Al Pri Eitz or Al Pri Gafen is actually contradictory because when you're viewing the Peros as coming from the tree, that's not a simultaneously tenable viewpoint to viewing them as coming from the ground, which is represented by Al Aretz. So therefore, over there, we have to be Stam. But to answer question three, why are we being Mafari here with Al Pri Adama? That's actually totally viable because Al Pri Adama is not a contradiction with Al Adama because saying it comes from the ground is saying, right, that's the same thing, just saying it comes from the ground. That's not viewing it from two different perspectives that are somewhat in conflict. So once that's true, there's no issue with saying Al Pri Adama and Fakir, we want to be Mafari. It's only in the other cases where there's a problem with being Mafari that we don't. And then, finally, just to answer the first question, so we see that in all the other examples, that the theme of Zan, right, has to be introduced in the Psicha. That's the first theme. That has to be introduced in the Psicha. So Allah Adama, once we already said that's synonymous with Allah Aretz, right, that's the Aretz theme, not the Zan theme. So why don't we say Allah Mechia about Pri Adama? So it could be either that we want to have more parallelism, or it could be that even mentioning Al Pri Adama is too close to saying Al Aretz that we want to hold the Psicha singularly for the Zan theme. Okay, that was all three questions. Fine. So now let's get to the nitty gritty. She's the Rambam, Tfilim HaRebis. Right? So we have the Rambam. The Rambam says, and first he writes, anything that's dug on, right? Kemashel echad mechamish leminim she bishop v'kadera bein levada bein she'irvo im dar macherim v'chulei ken kol tavshel she'irvo mechamish leminim bein kamach bein pas tzchila v'rachalav v'rimin rezonos. So first he's clear, says the din of Rav and Shmuel, that any grain product is going to be v'rimin rezonos, both if it's alone and if it's mixed in with other things. Good. And then he qualifies that this is only true if the dagon is not tafel, right? The dagon, he didn't even just say bigger yet. He says, right, benjamin amurim, shaya mina ze chashev, right? That's low, veloy tfela, aval imaya echar mechamisha minim she'er of tfela, ein of echar poter tfela. So, ein of elal echar, sorry, the poter tfela, right? You only meet the bracha b'nekar. And he'll come back later. I mean, not that much later, but very soon, to qualify what to define what tafel means. But he does seem to apply ikar v'tafel to dagon, meaning saying if dagon is tafel, so then it is, it meaning then really it's tough, and it's not, and the bracha is not, the bracha of that mixture is not very mizonos. And then he says in that, and this is a general call of brachas, that that you make the bracha on the ikar and you pour the tefillah. So, and then finally he concludes that a tefillah hamoreves is defined as being letzevach lereach ledavik, right? So anything which is not giving tam, but rather just serving some other function in the mixture to color, to or smell, whatever, to stick it together. So that's called a tafel. And he provides one example, which is critical. He provides an example of a case of this is the case that Gemara talks about, which is honey and flour, that he says that if the flour is just the davik, right, this is Gemara and Lama Tess, if the flour is just the davik, so then that's not going to be that there the flour is not going to be ikker, the honey will be ikker. Great. So there's a number of questions on the Rambam. Right, so first of all, the Rambam seems to be saying that there's really no difference between how ikker v'tafel works with dagan and without dagan, right? Because he says it didn't with dagan. He says that it can't be tafel. And he says, is that called brachos? And he states his normative din of ikker v'tafel. By everything. And this is where he teaches it. This is the context in Brahman Zonas in this parak in Parak Gimel. Moreover, the distinction of right, and it's really, I would say this is 1B. In as much as the Rambam in this context frames the distinction between Ikar V'Tafel as, you know, providing Tam versus the Letzeva L'Reach L'Davik. So if that was just in the context of Raymond and Zonas, okay, fine. So that's what we see, basically. That's what we see in the Gemara. That's what we talked about in the first segment today. Okay, he adds Letzevach L'Reach, but it could be that those are, meaning Ledavik is reflective of a general category of non-Tom providing ingredients to a mixture. So he adds other factors, but I don't think that would even be such a problem. But, right, as you just said, he said Zekal B'Brachos. He seems to utilize this definition and incorporate this definition of Ikar V'Tafel into everything. So now not only is there a difference between, you know, Brahman and Zonos and everything else, which we would have thought there was in as much as Rav and Shmuel teaches, you know, give their unique din only by Minei Dagan. But now the definitions of Ikar V'Tafel that emerge from the Gemara itself in the context of Minei Dagan, of Rav and Shmuel, are applied to everything. So that's an obvious corollary of saying that there's no difference, but the same question arises. So how could there not be a difference? How could you just take what Rav and Shmuel uniquely say about Minei Dagan and apply it to everything? So, and then a third question before I even get to the part of the damage control. So a third question is, right, the Rambam's final example is that something, if you have honey and dvash, honey and grain, and the, you know, the grain is not nos in tam, so then the honey is ikar, you make a bracha on the honey. So the implication is, right, that the dagan is not nos in tam, but had it would have been nos in tam, then it would be koveya the bracha, as Raymond Rizonos. But wait a minute, the Rambam in, you know, the previous halachas just defined ikar v'tafel given with the terms of tam versus the Zavach Zavach Araya. So, obviously, if the honey is providing tam, and the grain is not providing tam, and that, then add, you know, grain that does provide tam, why would that doesn't take away from the honey's tam? So, how could you say that, oh, if the grain doesn't provide tam, so then you make the bracha on the honey because that's ikar. But implication being, is the grain to provide tam, then that would be the ikar. And you make the bracha on the grain, the Brahman Zonos. But what about the honey? The honey still is providing tam. So whatever the honey was doing when the grain wasn't providing tam, it's still doing. So what changed? Why is the honey no longer considered the ikar if it's the same tam is being provided? So at this point, right, the Magen Avraham and the Gra, they try to say that maybe the Rambam, right, only applies. They want to limit his novelty. They want to say that maybe the definition of, you know, of an ikar as being latam, that's true. But the the... let me just make sure I'm getting this right. Because it could be the other way around. That anything which is notes in tam, that's the definition of ikar to be notes in tam. Now again, you have to figure out. So then it might be that they would say that in general ikar tafel is, well, the gra could be different. Maybe the gra would say that the most primary notes in tam is going to be the real ikar in the way we normally think about ikar tafel. But nevertheless, they don't accept that, you know, that's the limited definition of a tafel. A tafel is anything that's not primary. But it doesn't sound like what the Rambam is saying with the Kol Gadol, and it doesn't fit with the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says that when he cites his dinner with the Rambam, he cites it not in the context, the limited context of Reuven and Zonos, but rather the broad context, Zimun Reish Dalet, where he's just dealing with general foods, and not specific. And he has a simon limited to Minyan Dagon. They have their own simon, and that's not where this halacha appears. So methodologically, it would seem that this is a more general thing, like the Rambam himself is saying, Zeh Kol Gadol Brachos. But it's not, it's harder than to say, to limit it. So Ray put this thing in about the Kasev Mishnah, so I'll try to explain it a little bit based on what I saw when I was talking about with Noah and with Johnny. So the Kasev Mishnah, he explicitly asked the question about the Rambam's case of honey and grain, and that the implication is that if the grain, you know, had tom, then it would be the ikar. But what happened to the honey? So the Kesef Mishnah wants to say that there's this concept called that anything which is misrakeach, which means like to be like blended up, and the other elements of the taroves are there purely subsidiary and subservient to that blended up thing, then even though that subsidiary element provides tam, it still is a tafel. So therefore, when the honey is the only thing providing tam, so that's the ikar. But when the grain is providing tam, so then the honey clearly is only there to facilitate eating of the grain, and then it's tafel. So clearly, this is a very different conception of ikar v'tafel than the Rambam seems to be presenting. Obviously, it's, you know, it's trying to answer a very big kasha in the Rambam, but it's also where it kind of falls short is that, right, in the Gemara of Ritza D'Chlai and Lamatas we've been talking about, where there's in the Havamina there's a distinction between how much flour and how much honey is being put in. So there the discussion is not about tam. It's taken for granted that they're both for tam. And the question, and it was just how much money, how much, you know, flour in each. And then the conclusion was, no, they're both, you know, they're both Reuven and Zonos because of Rav and Shmuel's din. So clearly, if Maskana, both things are applicable to Rav and Shmuel's din, so then the grain must have been Latam for both of them. But if the grain was Latam for both of them, so then the Kesef Mishnah's point, how does the Gemara have a Havamina, how is there a Machlokas, or not Machlokas, sorry, distinction between the, you know, the urban and the rural Rita that that it would be that it would depend on the quantity of the, you know, the honey and the grain respectively, because if there's this general principle that whenever something is just coming totally subservient to the main ingredients, and that's the tafel, and he compares it to like the water in Mei Shlakos, that the water in Mei Shlakos is there to facilitate the eating of the vegetables. But if that was true, then that should always be true when there's when the grain is providing tam. So how in the Havamina Lamatas could there be a distinction between the quantities of grain and honey? Because no matter what, if the grain is providing tam, then according to the Kesef Mishnah, it really should be that the honey is just there, subsidiary and subservient to the grain. So, and in addition to seemingly just being a different conception than the simple read of the Rambam, so Rebbe felt that the Kesef Mishnah also fell short a little bit. And that the Derech HaMelech seems to just be to take the Rambam at his word. To take the Rambam at his word and to say, when the Rambam says, and there's no distinction, right, what were our questions? Our questions were, summarize, you know, there's no, how, he doesn't seem to, 1A is that he's not making a difference between Varim Nizonos and everything else in regards to Ikar V'Tafel. And then he's using the data that emerges from the discussion of Ikar V'Tafel and the concept of Varim Nizonos applying it to everything. So what happened to Rav and Shmuel? What's the uniqueness of Rav and Shmuel? That was the first question, two parts. Second question being, right, how does he understand the case of Honey and Dagon, that why does he imply that if Bremen is Zonos, if Dagon was providing Tom, then that would be Kovei the Bracha, when it seemed to be just saying before that anything providing Tom is an Iker. And thirdly, right, meaning if this is really true that anything provides Tom is an Iker, so then what do you do when there's multiple things that provide Tom? So it's a multiple Ikarim, so how does it work? And then fourthly, right, I didn't mention it before, but fourthly, right, going back to that Havamina of Ritzot Achlai, that it does prevent, right, meaning we said the Kesem Mishnah doesn't, it's hard to plug in the Rambam, but the Rambam himself is very hard to understand there. Because if, right, for the same reason, meaning if it's true that any Tom provides it, right, so what's a Havamina? It sounds like in the Havamina that we haven't figured out Rav and Shmuel yet, because, right, only in the Maskana do we say that the Maskana there is that no matter rural or urban, the bracha is Bremen and Zonos because the grain is providing Tom. And that's the din of Rav and Shmuel. So seemingly in the Havamina, we don't have Rav and Shmuel. So grain is just like anything else. So if by all foods, the Rambam is saying that any Tom is an Iker, anything providing Tom is an Iker. So obviously, if the Maskana, they both cases of grain fit into Rav and Shmuel's case, both cases of Ritza have the grain as Tom to fit into Rav and Shmuel. So obviously they both have Tom. And the honey also has Tom. So what's the Havamina that it depends on the amount? They both have Tom, so they both should be Iker. So four questions. We want to say like this. Simple approach. What did we say yesterday? Simplicity, the other side of complexity. So the Rambam is saying... Yeah, sorry. Where is it? Oh, okay. It's okay. please raise your hand or interrupt if you want. You don't have to raise your hand. You can just interrupt. It's weird. So the Rambam really seems to be saying that anything in any food, in any tarovas, I should say, meaning any tarovas with any measure of ingredients, is really subject to the klal that any ingredient which provides tam is ikar, and any ingredient which is merely ladavik l'sevach reyach is tafel. And in a certain sense, ikar just means not tafel. And even though we have this conception that the ikar is koveya the bracha, it's not really true. It's just that an ikar is toveya bracha latzma, right? An ikar generates the need to have a primary blessing on it. And what do you do, right? And we asked the question, right, I think it's question three, what do you do if there's multiple things? So you figure it out. You either use the lowest common denominator or you split it up. But the Rambam doesn't necessarily have to go through, because the pratim are very different in each case, and they're just applying general rules of brachos. It doesn't necessarily have to be specified, and it's not. And there's no case in the Gemara that specifically talks about it. It's just gleaned from the rules that emerge from you know all the data. But the Rambam is going to talk about the case, right, of honey and wheat, which is what the Gemara talks about. So. Right, in that, and obviously Rav and Shmuel. So now really there's no difference between everything. A Tefillah Mereves, and any Tefillah Mereves, the Ikar is just anything which provides Tam, and if you have multiple Ikarim, you make the lowest common denominator, or you separate them in whatever way possible. And conceptually, I think the way we're saying it is that Ikar V'Tafel does not define and describe the relationship between the different elements of a mixture, but rather the terms themselves are descriptions of the roles that ingredients might play in a mixture, but they don't define. The roles are not in relation to one another, but rather independent of one another and objective, as opposed to saying that an ikar is more primary than a tafel and a tafel is more secondary to an ikar. It's not true that they're relating to each other in the Rambam. They're independent definitions that are, and each one is defined. Each ingredient is looked at independently and defined irregardless of the other materials and the other ingredients in the mixture. And the only difference is going to be Dagon. But the Rambam seem to present it the same way and to present it as, you know, and to take that evidence and say that that's true generally. But the fourth kasha is really what's going to save us, because the kasha of, you know, or third kasha, not the last, I guess maybe five kashas. But anyways, the kasha of, right, what's the Rambam saying by the relationship between honey and Dagon, right, if they're both providing tam, so what's the difference? So it could be, or it seemingly is, that how the Rambam interprets Rav and Shmuel is that, right, as we said before in the Chakira, in terms of is Brahman Zonos, is a Dagon in a mixture creating a Maisa Kedera or just being Ikar B'tafel? It could be that Rambam also interprets it as it's creating a Maisa Kedera. That a Maisa Kedera B'etzem is even Duyak in the Rambam, right, becomes this in the Rif, but the Rambam has, he mentions the phrase somewhat extraneously of Maisa Gedera coming to explain Kol Zed Nikra Maisa Gedera in explaining the Bracha of Brahman Zonos in a Taroves. So when the grain, the honey provides Ikar, and anything that's Ikar is a Tom. Sorry, anything that provides Tom is an Ikar. But when you have Dagon, so that thing, it's not that the Dagon's the Ikar. Everything's in the Dagon and the honey are both Ikarim. But Dagon is not, Koveya the Bracha alts Ikar V'tafel. It's Koveya the Bracha qua being a Maisa Kedera Be'etzem. And that's going to explain, right, that helps us with question one and one A and one B, right? What's the difference between Mine Dagon and you know, everything else, and what Rav Shmuel Mechadesh? Because what they're Mechadesh is not a Prad and Ikar V'tafel. In Ikar V'tafel, it's all the same. What they're Mechadesh is that Dagon creates, that the Bracha of Brahman Zonos is Metakin on a Maisa Kedera Be'etzem, and that's anything that contains Dagon for Tam. Not because the other things in the mixture that are providing Tam are not Ikarim, they are Ikarim, it's just that this is not, the bracha here is not determined by Ikar V'tafel. That's Rav and Shmuel's Chiddush. And right, this is very much related to the Gra, that in Atar Oves there's no normative concept of Ikar V'tafel, but the Gra does think that there is a concept of Rubo Kekulo, right? That if there's a majority ingredient, not just a plurality or most primary ingredient, a majority ingredient, most primary ingredient, so then that's going to... Then that's going to define the entire entity, the general Torah principle of Rubik. We'll see that the Rambam doesn't seem to have that in a moment. But right, the last kasha I think we're going to answer, maybe answered what the Rambam is really saying, you know, defining Ikar V'tafel as a Zeh Klal, the relationship between honey and Dagon, right, and then how you operate in a Tefillah Mo'arevis where you have multiple Ikarim and, you know, LCD, or split them up. And then, but the last question was, right, I'm just going to talk about this now because I think, even though in the notes it was in the next section, but I think they really just flow right into each other. That right, by Ritzata Klai, the difference between the rural and the urban, Ritzas, right, what's the difference? Why does quantity matter in the Havamina if they're no different than any other food? Both the grain and the dagon both the grain and the honey should be Ikar if they're both the Tom. So now it really is a strong question, because we're saying they really both should be Ikar. And if you say that the Havamina doesn't incorporate the Din of Rav Shmuel at all, which is what it seems like, because that's a Maskana. You know, it's difficult to understand what the Havamina is. And even if you want to say that it's a more of a Gra point of Rubo Kekulo, that in the Smita, that in the urban centers, the opposite, in the rural centers, the Smita Ikar means, right, there was so much they had so much flour that was the rove, and that's actually very likely that the flour was the rove, and then that just defines the entire thing as flour. It's not a, it's like, or whatever, as, you know, a grain product. So what's it? Doesn't matter. The honey is considered like part of the grain. It doesn't. It's just that's the general principle of Kula. So the problem with saying that is that the Rambam, in the context of Orez, which we'll get to in a second, writes that the bracha of Orez is only Brahmin Zonos if it's totally alone. But if it's if it's mixed with anything else at all, so then that's going to then it would not be. We'll talk about exactly how that's going to work. So it doesn't even seem like he incorporates Ruba Kekula, right? Whereas the other Rishonim, like the Rush, are Medayik from the Havamina of Ritzot HaKlai, that there is a concept of Rove, that Rove helps, you know, that even rice, if rice is the Rove, then it would be Brahmin Zonos, because the whole thing is considered like rice. So what are you going to say for the Havamina of Ritzot HaKlai? Oftentimes, the thing is, the assumption is creating the biggest problem that's what has to be adapted, or that's what has to be challenged. Right? We've been assuming the whole time, very reasonably, that in as much as the Maskana is, no, they're both cases, both rural and urban, are Brahmin Zonos because of Rav and Shmuel. So the Havamina doesn't incorporate the din of Rav and Shmuel at all, because that's the Chiddush of the Maskana. But we could suggest that no, even in the Havamina, Dagon is not necessarily the same as every other food, which just, if it's a Talmud and Iker and it's Koveya Bracha Atzma. But rather, the Havamina is articulating a proto-din of Rav and Shmuel. That instead of needing to be just Latam to tap into this, you know, fantastic idea of Rav and Shmuel, that anything with grain Latam is a Maisa Gedera and Be'etzem has a Bracha Mir Zonos, the Havamina assumes that, yeah, there is something called Maisa Gedera. You're right, Rav and Shmuel. I mean, it's like a kind of weird formulation because it's only true, whatever. But that there is such a thing as Maisa Gedera. And there is a unique quality of grain to transform the nature of the entire dish, not into something that contains multiple ikarim because it has multiple ingredients, the tam, but rather because it itself is a Maisa Gedera, which is what the Bracha Mevinim is talking about, because it contains a satiated ingredient, which is the tam. The Havamina just is that to tap into that, there has to be a certain quantity, not just quality of tam, but rather quantity as well of flour. And that's the distinction between the rural and urban, that having a lot of flour versus, you know, having a lot of honey. That to tap into creating a Maisa Gedera, to transforming the entire dish into this new unit, which is a bracha, which is Be'etzem Brahmin Zonos, that proto form of Rav and Shmuel has to have a quantity. The Maskana is, no, it doesn't even have to have a quantity. The bracha Brahmin Zonos Be'etzem was mitakin on anything that has dug in the tam. And that's Rav and Shmuel. But the Havamina doesn't conceptualize grain as the same as honey, because then they should both be Ikarim. That's exactly the problem that we're running into. But rather, it's acknowledging that grain is unique, but only with a quantitative element as well, not just a qualitative element. Kamash Milan, the qualitative element alone is enough to affect that din and to define that din of Rav and Shmuel. And that, right, that's really flows in to the last thing you do today for Piskei, Rifa Ramam in Orez, right? So the Gemara, let's just background on the Gemara, right? The Gemara, Rav and Shmuel have two statements, Kol Shehu, Shabbos Aminim, Rav and Zonos, and Kol Sheyeshbo, right? The former saying that only Mine Dagon alone, you know, had the Bracha Rav and Zonos, to the exclusion of Orez V'Dochan, or any, you know, and everything else. But those are the only ones that are, you know, questionable, that only these things have Rav Zonos. And then, so too, in Kol Sheyeshbo, right, only these things which are, when included in a Taroves, are only the Mine Dagon make the Taroves Rav Zonos, but not Orez V'Dochan. Right, and the Gemara goes to Shach V'Tarya, and ultimately, with a minimalist read, only explicitly rejects that rice by itself is not Brahmin Zonos, because it's saying it is Brahmin Zonos. So rice by itself is Brahmin Zonos. But the Braiso, which ultimately proves that to be the case, does not include Dochan, first of all. And it's talking about a case of rice by, you know, Bain, not mixed in Sarovis. So minimally, it only rejects kol shehu in regards to rice, but not or so say, whatever, but not in regards to dochan. So, but on the other hand, right, meaning they were originally grouped together, orz v'dochan, and obviously Rav and Shmuel's statements seem to go hand in hand. So even though, you know, only one of the four quadrants of the Punnett square that you can kind of draw in your head, that of orz dochan kol shehu kol sheyesh, was rejected, it's, you know, very reasonable to say that box is going to have an effect on the other boxes. So, box meaning box of the Punnett square, whatever. I'm just picturing it. However, right, the Rif and the Rambam take the minimalist viewpoint. They only say that rice by itself is Brahman Zonas. And as aforementioned, that the Rambam is so particular in describing rice that he describes rice as being Brahman Zonas only when it's not Ma'urav V'davar Acher B'chal. That's a paraphrase, I think. But that's where we see he doesn't even seem to incorporate Ruvah D'Kula. Fine, we just talked about that. So what's interesting, right, is that the Rabbeinu Tami Nevi'im and Yonah, right, they ask on the Rif and the Rambam. But I mean, they're talking about the Rif. The Rambam has the same shita. That you know, the Gemara originally just grouped Orz V'Dochan together. They were excluded together from Kol Shehu, and Kol Shehu is now rejected. And okay, the Brisa itself only happened to mention Orez. That's not necessarily even a deal, because it just happened to be talking about Orez. The only fundamental distinction that was ever made between Orez and Dohan was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who in the middle of the Shachotari, that's part of a potential proof, said that, right, he thinks of rice, he thought that Orez was one of the Minei Dagan, and he didn't include Dohan because he thought that it was Machmetz. So Rabbi Yonah says that fundamental difference, being Machmetz, right, what does it have to do with determining the bracha? Okay, maybe when you had Kol Shehu, you could have said that the bracha of Brahman Zonas was only metakin on Minei Dagan Davka. Right, and then it really matters, you know, what's called the Minei Dagan, and we thought that we had this potential proof that Orez was included, but he said, no, there's Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Fine. But now that we reject Kol Shehu, we include rice. For the Tanakama, rice is not a Minei Dagan. That's his machlokas with, you know, that's the Tanakama's machlokas with Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. So once it's not a Minei Dagan, so obviously the definition of Brahman Zonas has to shift from Minei Dagan, because we're including rice, which is not a Minei Dagan. So seemingly, it should be, let's just say, you know, anything that's Muslim, Said, Seishites, whatever. So inasmuch as in that categorization, Orez and Dohan are similarly comparable and are grouped together in the original state of the Gemara, so why is that not true Lemiskana? Orez and Dohan should both be Brahman Zonas by themselves, at the very least by themselves, maybe even in its Arobas. So but building off the mahalach that we're using for the Rambam, we can apply to the Rif as well. That Brahman Zonas has been talking on a fundamental Maisik Adera. So we can potentially not only explain this, but also explain the Rif's distinction and Rambam as well, limitation of only poskening the rejection of Kol Shehu, meaning that rice Bain is Brahman Zonas, but not in a mixture. Because we could say that there's really two ways to become a Brahman Zonas. There's being Dagon, right? The Rabbeinu Yonah is binary, right? It was Dagon. Once we see that Kol Shehu was rejected, now it's defined by Mazon, and that's why Dohan should be included. But perhaps we could say that when Kol Shehu is rejected and rice is included, that's only because the category of Dagon is expanded to include things which are also similar enough to Dagon to qualify Brahman Zonas. And as seen from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, obviously, you know, and a machlokas tanaim about whether something is machmetz is questionable in the sense that it seems like a physical reality. Obviously, it has to do something with the threshold of what's chametz, you know, what's called leavening, as opposed to saying they're dealing with different data, which is very unlikely and just, you know, not compelling. But to say they had a different threshold for leaven is compelling. But it's likely that, you know, it's hard to say they were it's probably a very small machlokas, and it's reasonable to say the Chachamim agree that Or is as close to being a min dagan. It just doesn't get all the way there. But maybe in deraisas in regards to chametz and matzah, it doesn't get all the way there. But in regards, and bein lekula bein lechumra, chametz and matzah. But in regards to brachos, that is close enough to dagan to already to be a brahmin azonos, qua the din of being dagan, not necessarily qua the din of being mazon. And we actually see in the Gemara in Erevin, which is, the topic there is discussing Nedarim, but Rav and Shmuel only think that the five grain, the Dimidei Dagan, are called Mazon. Now, obviously, that's consistent, but they themselves are saying Kol Shehu. But it's not necessarily, we don't necessarily have to say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and the Gemara, at the end of the day, which rejects Kol Shehu, is rejecting that assumption that Oros and Dochan are in this category called Mazon. It could be that they're, and we'll get to Dochan in a second, but it could be that there's just an added quality of, there's a Machayev of Raymond Zonos called being Dagan. Now, obviously, we see from the Gemara in Erevin that links explicitly the Bracha of Raymond Zonos to the quality of being Mazon. For Rav and Shmuel, it's limited to the concept of the Chamish Minim. But, so obviously, Mazon has to be a qualification for being a Brahmin Zonos. And you could say that you need to have both. You need to both be a Min Dagan and you have to be Mazon. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan, and we're taking for granted, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri thinks that Orez is Mazon and then he's also including it as Dagan. And that's why the Bracha of Brahmin Zonos. But then we're just creating machlokas in this like kind of very subjective standard of Mazon, and that's not so compelling. It's easier to say there's two different Machayavim, there's two different generators of Brahmin Zonos, being Dagan or close to it, and being Mazon. And the reason why this fits very well is for a number of reasons. First of all, it explains why Orez and not Dochan, because only Orez, as seen from Rabbi Yochanan and Nirashita, that it's only Orez was Chametz, but not he didn't even consider Dochan. So only Orez is going to have this quality of being Dagan and Dagan. So the Bryce is saying Orez is Brahmin Zonos, rejects Kol Shehu, but doesn't necessarily include Dochan, because it's not rejecting the entire definition or shifting the entire definition of Brahmin Zonos from Dagan to Mazon as Brahmin Zonos suggests, but rather just expanding slightly the category of Dagan to even include things which are very similar and very nearly Dagan, in this context, rice, but not Dochan. And moreover, it's very reasonable to suggest, very compelling, that our whole idea about a Taroves being a Maisa Gedera Be'etzem, right, inasmuch as we related that to the concept extrapolated by the Torah of being Alav Yechi Adam, so that is related to the din, the Machayev of being Muslim, being Sayyid, but not necessarily of being Doma Ladagan. So rice might be included as being Doma Ladagan, and Kol Shehu is rejected. But that doesn't mean that Kol Sheyesh is rejected. That doesn't mean that rice is going to transform a Taroves into a Maisa Gedera Be'etzem, because it doesn't have that fundamental quality of being Muslim and being Sayyid, as seen from the Gemara in Erevin in the context of the Darim, that it's compelling to say that everybody agrees to that assumption in as much as it's a very subjective categorization. And finally, so this approach can help us answer the last question in regards to the riff's derivation from Rav and Shmuel, right? So the riff, the lashon of the riff indicates that Kol Shehu is rejected, but Rav and Shmuel are still themselves saying Kol Sheyesh Bo is rejected, right? They themselves are still saying that rice does not dominate an ikar, does not make the bracha of an ikar bring in his onus. So if the riff had formulated as, you know, Rav and Shmuel are saying kind of one statement that has two corollaries and we only see the one that's rejected, so we're not going to be mechadish that the other one's rejected ourselves because we don't have evidence for that, okay, then that might have been tenable. But it's very funny to say that the Rav and Shmuel themselves are still saying that rice does not dominate a Taroves, because when Rav and Shmuel say Kol Sheyesh, that rice does not make a Taroves Brahmin Zonos, well, You know what's a great reason why Rice doesn't make something a Taros Bereim Nizonos? Because it's not Bereim Nizonos. So obviously it doesn't make a Taros Bereim Nizonos. What does it mean that Rav and Shmuel are saying that it doesn't make a Taros Bereim Nizonos? Yeah, that's true for them, that it itself is not Bereim Nizonos. But maybe rice and dough, maybe there's three categories of things. There's, you know, Mine Dagon, which are Bereim Nizonos and make a Taros Bereim Nizonos, you know, have the special quality of making a Taros Bereim Nizonos. There are rice and, you know, maybe dochan, similarly dochan also, which are, you know, maybe we'd say they were mazon. They didn't have the bracha b'rei mezonos because they weren't a min dagon, but they still dominate a torvus with whatever, probably b'rei p'rei dama. They make a whole torvus b'rei p'rei dama no matter what. And even if they're like the tafel, and then you have everything else, which, you know, is just a normal dinner tafel. Who's to say that Rav and Shmuel are saying that no, rice is in that first category, even if its bracha was Bereim Nizonos. We don't think it is, but even if it was, it would still... Or sorry, rice is in the latter category. I mean, the category of foods which don't define a taroves, even if its bracha is Bereim Nizonos. So, the way that we're saying that there's two dinim, and that rice is the mechayev of being Doma LaDagon, but not necessarily Mazon or Said, And the Muslim Said Mechayev is what creates a Maisa Gedera Be'etzem and what defines and dominates a Taroves. So, Rav and Shmuel, when Rav and Shmuel say Kosher and Kosher Yish, they're saying not only, they're both saying that rice is not Dagon nor Muzan. So, when the Braisa comes and rejects, you know, Kosher Hu and says that it really is Doma LaDagon and therefore it's Chayev, that doesn't take away Rav and Shmuel's point that they themselves are meaning by making it two dinim. Rav and Shmuel are not just saying one point that says two corollaries; they're really saying two different points. And if you reject one point, you absolutely don't reject the other point; it still stands. And Rav and Shmuel were never saying, "Oh, because it's not Bereim Nizonos, that's why it doesn't define an ikar." They're saying it doesn't define it doesn't define a taroves. They're saying it doesn't define a taroves because it itself is not Muslim, it itself is not sight, it does not create a Maizik Gedera Be'etzem, and therefore, even if it's Brachas Bereim Nizonos, it does not have that quality. Okay, shkaya. Anybody have that?